Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
In Job chapter 23, verses 1 through 10, we read something concerning the silence of God. Read with me in Job chapter 23, beginning in verse 1. Then Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might even come to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No. But he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Now, in this particular passage, you can sense Job's frustration because he wants to make his complaint before the Lord, but he can't find him. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments, you see. In other words, Job wants an audience with God. He wants to discuss his suffering with the Lord. But he can't find him, and he can't hear him. For 37 chapters, God is silent. And finally, in the 38th chapter, the Lord answered Job. Job was suffering greatly, and he was looking for an audience with God so he could get some answers as to why he was suffering so. For quite some time, 37 chapters, God was silent. And we learn from his experience that there are times when you want God to answer you, but he seems not to hear your plea. So today we are going to study this topic, waiting out the silence of God. Waiting out the silence of God. What are we supposed to do when God is silent? Well, we'll just look at four things. Waiting out the silence of God takes, first of all, perseverance. Perseverance. We're talking about Job. Job was going through a terrible test. Literally, he was a pawn in a spiritual war between God and the devil. And the battle wasn't totally without benefit for Job, because it turns out Job was self-righteous. The Lord allowed Job to be tested until he came to a place of repentance over his self-righteousness and humbled himself. And then, after Job went through all of that suffering, God blessed him abundantly and gave him twice as much as he started with when the trial began. Now, how did Job get through it? He had to persevere through this trial. There was nothing else he could do. God and the devil were sorting this out, and Job was just there. He tried every way he could to get God's attention, to shake off his friends, to try to get some relief. And you know something? There are times when the spiritual struggles in your life are for your benefit, and the Lord isn't going to answer you during the struggle, during the spiritual war, during the suffering, because he's molding you into something better than what you were before the trial started. I mean, do you remember in Romans chapter 9, I realize that the context of Romans chapter 9 is different than the suffering we're talking about in Job. But the answer in Romans 9 is the same. Romans chapter 9, verse 20, the Bible says, "Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Of course the potter has power over the clay. And of course the God who formed us has every right to do what he wants to with us, and certainly knows what is better for us." So the Lord isn't going to answer you in times where you're going through a spiritual struggle or suffering, when he's trying at that time to mold you into something better than what you were before the trial started. And when those times come, you simply need to persevere through the trial until God establishes you in what he wants you to be. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, and look at verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10 says this, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." Do you understand that the spiritual difficulty, the suffering that you're enduring, makes you perfect, establishes, strengthens, and settles you? Most of the time we get so consumed, like Job, with the suffering that we lose track of the fact that we are still clay in the potter's hands, and that he's trying to do something that's actually going to be better for us. It's like trying to make a battle-toughened soldier out of a 20-year-old boy. There's no explaining to do. He just has to go through it. And the way he gets through it is by perseverance. In other words, he recognizes, I have God, and God is good. And while I don't understand what I'm going through, I am just going to simply endure this until we get through it. Now, here's the second thing. In waiting out the silence of God, we need perception. Perception. Now, for this example, we'll look at Joseph. Joseph, I'm talking about of the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph suffered a great deal during his 13 years in prison. He was wrongly imprisoned in the first place, based on a false accusation, and then, before that, he was sold into slavery because of the envy of his brothers. So that's a bad ordeal. Joseph gets down to Egypt because he's brought in there by the Midianites, who sell him. Potiphar buys him. He's working for Potiphar and doing a fabulous job, and Potiphar doesn't have to worry about a thing in his house until Potiphar's wife is trying to make time with Joseph, and Joseph runs away from her. The Bible says, flee fornication. He runs, and she gets his coat, and then uses that coat to cook up a story against him that was not true, and for 13 years, he's stuck down there in prison. And he had to endure all of that stuff until such time as he was released and promoted to be the second ruler in the country. And you ask yourself the question, how in the world did Joseph do that? How was it that he could serve the prison warden faithfully? How was it that he could treat the baker and the butler with such respect and actually answer and interpret their dreams? How could he do that? How could he be such a trusted prisoner when he really had no business that we could see for being down there? How did he do that? Well, the answer was very simply, he didn't need God to reassure him during his trial because God had already spoken on the matter. Do you remember that when Joseph was young, he had seen some visions of God? They were dreams. And those visions regarded his brothers bowing down to him. Well, those came from God, and Joseph, who interpreted dreams by God, knew that those dreams had come from the Lord, and he understood. Listen, if he understood the dream of Pharaoh, and he understood the dream of the baker, and he understood the dream of the butler, you know that he understood those dreams that he had regarding his brothers bowing down to him, and he knew that they would come to pass. And so, listen, Joseph did not need any more assurance during that 13 years in prison or during the extra time as a slave. He didn't need that because he had God's word on the matter. He knew the visions of God regarding his brothers bowing down to him, and he knew that they would come to pass. Now, in our case, God often isn't going to give you any perspective on your trouble other than what he has already written in his words. In other words, when you're suffering and you're tired of suffering and you don't know why you're suffering and you're looking for an audience with God like Job was, rather than cry out in anguish to God for an answer, you need to study the Scriptures and see what God has already said. In other words, there's the answer that you may be wanting from God is already written in His words. And so rather than crying out for God to give you a sign or somebody to come and tell you and explain it to you or to try to talk to your friends and get them to sort it all out, just simply read the Bible and believe what God has already said and then live by those words. Oftentimes, we read through Scripture and we read right over passages of Scripture that seem to have no application to us whatsoever, and one day we are in the midst of a great trial and we read across a passage of Scripture and suddenly the answer of God, boom, jumps right off the page and we find that God hasn't been silent. He has already spoken in the matter and written His answer down for us to read. Now Joseph understood that. God had spoken. In Genesis chapter 50, after Jacob has been buried, the brothers are concerned that Joseph now is going to take out something. He's going to hate his brothers. He's going to requite them for all the evil that they had done to him. And he tells them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God?" And in verse 20 he says this, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." Joseph understood that. So he didn't need a further answer from God. He had his answer in writing, if you will. I mean, it's written down for us now, you see. He had Scripture on the matter, even though it was something that God had shown him. We see that God recorded that for us in the Scripture, so he had God's word on it. And many times, you and I have God's word on what He's doing. And we simply need to live by those words and believe them. All right, so what are we supposed to do when God is silent? Well, waiting out the silence of God takes, first of all, perseverance. Sometimes you just have to endure it. Or perception, you simply have to find the answer in the words of God. or patience is the next one. Patience. And in patience, we're going to look at Daniel. Daniel chapter 10. In Daniel chapter 10, Daniel had a vision, and he wanted to get an explanation from the Lord, so he begins to fast. He's on a limited diet. It's not a total fast away from food and water, but he limits his diet on a limited diet. And in this diet, he is waiting for 3 weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, verse 3 says. Neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And then in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl. It's one of the angels. And he comes down, and the angel says to Daniel in verse 12, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. There's the 3 weeks. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days." The whole time that Daniel is on this limited diet, a fast of sorts, he is waiting for the Lord to answer his prayer, and he's clueless as to the delay. I mean, he stays with it. He doesn't change. And so then when the angel finally comes to reveal to him his vision, then he understands that the delay involved a spiritual battle between the angel that came to reveal the vision and the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now you say, what is that? That's one of the heavenly hosts that are opposed to the Lord. In other words, up in heaven, in the realms of where the devil is and all that heavenly host, all that stuff goes on, the spiritual warfare. What you have is you have something being played out down here that mirrors what's going on up there. When the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood this angel, Darius, the Median and Persian king, Cyrus, were ruling over the world at that time. Well, when this angel goes back, he says, I'm going to return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I'm gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. You know who followed the Median and Persian empire? Yeah, Alexander the Great, the Greeks. And then what followed them were the Romans. So whatever's going on up there in that supernatural realm is playing out down here in our earthly realm. And this angel had to fight with the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now, there was nothing Daniel could do during this delay but wait. So patience is required when you know you need an answer, but there is an unexplained delay. I mean, perhaps the Lord is waiting for just the right time, and anything before that would simply be too soon for you to know. Or perhaps, on the other hand, God is God and we're just humans and he really doesn't owe us an explanation. And in either case, we just have to trust him, even in his silence, and be patient as we wait for the Lord to let us know the answer. For instance, let's say that you're looking for an answer from God on a job change, or a city change, or a house change, or a church change, and you're not getting anything. Well, then you don't know. You don't know if it's that God's not going to answer you. You don't know if the timing is not right. You don't know if maybe there's a spiritual warfare going on. You have no idea. The only thing you can possibly do is just continue to wait on God until he gives you an answer. And that's what Daniel did. It takes patience. So what are we supposed to do when God is silent? Well, waiting out the silence of God takes perseverance. You just have to endure like Job did. It takes perception. You simply find the answer already written in God's words. It takes patience. You simply wait. You simply wait like Daniel did. And then it takes this, penitence. Penitence. You say, what is that? Well, same word. I'm looking for one that started with a P, of course. But it's repentance. And here we're talking about a man named Saul. You see, in 1 Samuel chapter 28, we're talking about the king of Israel. 1 Samuel chapter 28, Saul decided to inquire of a woman who had a familiar spirit because the Lord would not answer him. Now, Saul had gotten rid of all the women with familiar spirits, or at least he thought he had. This woman was supposed to be gone. But his princes knew, they knew where she was. And in verse 6 of 1 Samuel 28, when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. The Lord was not going to answer him. No way. The Lord refused to answer him because Saul had sinned against the Lord. Now, what he needed to do is he needed to repent. And you've got some bad kings along the way like Manasseh and Ahab who repented and humbled themselves before the Lord. And the Lord was kind toward them in the ends of their reigns to a certain extent. So what Saul needed to do is he needed to repent. But instead, he tried to circumvent the Lord and get the answer another way. Well, Saul was rebellious. Saul was stubborn. He was idolatrous. He was disobedient. And not only that, he was possessed by an evil spirit. Now, let me tell you something. When you get into that kind of shape with the Lord, where you're disobedient, where you're stubborn, where you're rebellious, perhaps idolatrous, maybe even influenced by an evil spirit like Saul was, when you get into that kind of shape, you're not going to get much from the Lord in prayer or in Bible reading or in church. It's just going to be dead to you. The preaching isn't going to reach you. The teaching isn't going to reach you. Your Bible reading is going to dry up. And when you pray, if you pray, there's not going to be much communion with the Lord. And you say, what do I need to do in a case like that? How do I wait out the silence of God? You know what you have to do? You've got to repent. You've got to get down there before the Lord and find out the sin, and you usually know what they are, or the sins, because usually they're compounded, that are separating you from the Lord. You've got to get in there. You've got to ask the Lord to search you and try you and find out and expose that sin that's in there. And then you get before the Lord and you say, okay, Lord, I've been proud, that's sin. And I've been drinking, that's sin. I've been watching things that I shouldn't be seeing. You know, I've been conversing and fellowshipping with people I shouldn't be hanging out with. I've been angry. I've been bitter. I've been whatever the case may be, doubting, lacking faith, whatever the case may be, whatever that sin is that has gotten in there between you and the Lord, you've got to get down there and figure out what that is and repent of that disobedience, that stubbornness, that rebellion. And you know, a lot of times what happens when people start drying up the fellowship with the Lord, then they turn to sin. And as we've said before, sin is not an option. But they do. They fornicate. They drink. They watch filthy movies. They get into the wrong kinds of company. All kinds of things. Doubting God. And it's a mess. And just like Paul was. And what it takes then in that time of silence with God is it takes penitence. You just got to get down on your face before God and turn from that sin and turn back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what we've been talking about today is waiting out the silence of God. In other words, there are times when God just doesn't say anything. And there are all kinds of explanations for why he doesn't do that. But what are you going to do? How are you going to wait that out? Well, You're going to wait out the silence of God by perseverance. In other words, like Job, you are simply going to endure those circumstances until God comes through and find that God has hardened you and toughened you for spiritual life by putting you through the trouble you've gone through. Sometimes waiting out the silence of God simply takes perception. In other words, you're looking for God to write something in the sky or bring you counsel, and He's already written down the answer in His words, and you simply need to find those answers already written down for you. Sometimes it takes patience, like Daniel. You just simply don't understand why the delay, but you wait until God comes through, because you know you can't move, you can't do the next thing you're trying to do until you have heard from God and you know what He wants you to do. So you wait, like Daniel did, patiently. And then perhaps it takes penitence. And oftentimes the silence of God is there because of your sin. He's trying to get your attention, but you're not listening. And so what He does is He just allows you to come repentantly before Him and get that sin washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then poof, it opens up that avenue for conversation with the Lord again, and then you get the direction and the leadership of the Lord that you've desperately needed. Let me tell you something. During those times of silence, don't despair. If you're saved and you know you're saved, you don't have to doubt your salvation. That's not the problem. If God's not answering you and you have tried everything, just wait. Just wait. Because perhaps what will happen is down the road you'll look back and you go, you know, I didn't get an answer from God, but I can see now from the position where I am why I had to go through that, and it's good. Patience is always, always, always a great virtue in times when you'd like to hear from God and He's just not coming back through for you. Well, I hope this message has been a help to you. I know these kind of things have certainly been a help to me, and it's our desire in preaching these words to you to give you things that will encourage your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and strengthen you in your life with Him. May God bless you. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.